You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Down with the king!
Yo, you know what it's about, so let's tell them why you're mad.
You know what really grinds my gears?
I'm mad!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Now for something completely different.
It's time for a royal rant, presented by the Kings of Sport.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, and I am here with a royal rant edition of the program. We're not going to be around for a long time, but we will be around for a good time. But I can't start the party all by myself. This is not a one-man operation. So let me bring in my tag team partner. He hails from the City of Angels. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Marcus, the light-skinned equalizer, Vandenberg. How you doing this week, brother?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
I'm doing good, my friend. Have you had a chance to go see Denzel yet? All the black people I've talked to, they don't even call it Equalizer 2. They just say, I'm going to go see Denzel tonight.
I forgot that was out. It's been out for a week, right?
It's been out for... He was number one last week. He beat Mamma Mia.
Okay. No, I saw the first one. I see a lot of Denzel movies. Maybe next week, though.
Yeah, to me, Denzel is not somebody that I go see opening week. Like, I think I waited maybe a month and a half to go see Fences.
I have not seen Fences yet. That's probably the one big recent one that I have not seen.
Roman J. Israel.
Israel, yeah.
That movie's interesting. Like Denzel's, and I think you can say this for a lot of Denzel movies, Marcus, like Denzel's really good in the movie, but I don't think the movie's really good around Denzel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the plot just kind of falls off the rails towards the end, but like Denzel's good. Everything else is just like, eh. Like if it wasn't for, like if you substituted Denzel for another random black dude,
Tyler Perry,
say Tyler Perry or Morris Chestnut, Blair Underwood, if you put just some random black dude there instead of Denzel, it would drop from like a 6 or 7 to like a 3. Oh. Just because Denzel lifts up that movie.
No, I'll wait. I mean, I'm sure it's on cable by now. So
no, it probably is. I did want to see Equalizer 2, though, because I saw the first one. I thought it was pretty good. Denzel has gotten into this phase where he's like an action hero, but he's an old man. So, like, he never runs anywhere. He just, like, walks and scowls. Like a black Batman. He's black man. you didn't get a chance to see Denzel, but let me ask you another question pertaining to our episode last week, Marcus. Have you finally gotten around to playing Baseball Mogul?
I have not yet, no.
See, I, you know, when we talked last time, I let everybody know I'd started playing Baseball Mogul thanks to the influence of John Pollock, our good friend over at Post Wrestling. And now, Marcus, not only do I have the one franchise that I had already begun, I'm currently playing three concurrent franchises. I've got a franchise going with the 2013 Atlanta Braves, Soul Patrol Outfield. I've got a franchise going with the 1999 Montreal Expos.
Ooh.
With Vlad and Wilton Guerrero. And I have maybe my most frustrating franchise, Marcus. I started a classic franchise with the 1973 Atlanta Braves.
Which version of Baseball Mogul did you have to download for that one?
I downloaded Baseball Mogul 13, or I think it's 13. It might be 14. Because everyone before 15 was free.
So if you download, let's say 15,
I
or
think
no,
it is,
14.
I think it is 14. I think it's 14.
If you download 14, can you still access the older rosters on that game?
Yeah, you can access anything from the 2013 series and above, or in back.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Let me download this now then.
And it's free. Like, that's you can't beat free.
Wait, is this only for PC only?
Yeah, I think it's for PC only.
Oh, I didn't know John had a PC.
I think it might be for PC only. But yeah, the shout out to the good people at Sports Mogul Inc. This is the first time I've done a classic, like, I guess technically the 99 and the 2013 teams would be quote unquote classic, but I'm talking about like old baseball, like your daddy and your granddaddy's baseball. And I just kind of randomly picked the 73 Braves because I knew I wanted to do a team with Hank Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what was the best Hank Aaron Braves team? And I got a bunch of different answers. And the 73 team was the one with all the power. You had David Johnson had 40 home runs. Darrell Evans had 40 home runs. Hank had 40 home runs. Dusty Baker had 20 home runs. So I was like, oh, that's going to be the greatest team ever. But Marcus, turns out in real life and on the computer, those numbers don't always add up, because in real life, that team with four people to hit 40 home runs, I think finished sixth. And on the computer, I am barely at 500, Marcus Vandenberg.
Hmm.
And it's because I have great hitting and no pitching.
1973.
The only pitchers I have on my team are Phil Niekro and his brother Joe Niekro.
So you're the Niekro boys, and I guess that was Don Sutton on the Braves back then?
Sutton isn't on this team.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, like my let you know my starting rotation and see if any of these names jump off to you as Hall of Famers. So I've got Phil and Joe Niekro.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Morton.
Don't know him.
Pat Dobson.
Don't know Mr. Dobson.
And Carl Morton. Or Gary Gentry, my man. I said Gary, Carl Morton twice. That's
Gary Gentry. Don't know. I'm looking at the real life stats here from 73. Yeah, I don't know a lot of these guys. I know Tom House. He's a reliever.
Yeah.
And obviously the Niekro brothers. But besides that...
Like, my team is basically like those four hitters and the Niekros, and that's it. And it's like, you know, I'm guaranteed, almost guaranteed, two wins whenever they come up. You know, Phil, give me a win. Joe, give me a win. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of my starting rotation might give me one win. And so it's like I'm barely hanging on to, I think I'm in third right now, but I'm barely hanging on to third.
The most impressive thing about the real 1973 Braves was Hank Aaron at the age of 39.
Yeah.
Going 301, 40 and 96 at 39, and walked more than he struck out. Struck out 51 times in 465 plate appearances.
It is, it's like, offensively, this was a strong team. Like in real life, when Dusty Baker is like the fourth best or fourth most feared hitter, and he still hit 20 home runs back then.
Dusty Baker, by the way, I was listening to Bomani Jones podcast, and he interviewed Dusty, and he was talking about the influence Hank Aaron had, and when he signed with the Braves, like, Hank Aaron pretty much told Dusty's parents that, you know, he would look out for him. So Dusty ended up having this father figure in Hank Aaron, who came in handy because he, you know, Dusty pretty much, he had, you know, cups of coffee with the Braves pretty much right away. And then by, I think age 22, 23, he was a member, full-time member of the Braves. So it was a good interview. And then he, you know, went to the Dodgers and then eventually got into managing after retiring from baseball. And we sort of know that how that played out. So
that's what happened when black folks look out for each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's between Hank and Dusty and, you know, Phil and Joe. Like, the black players on my team stepped up, Marcus. You know, you got to love the Negroes. I wonder if that ever caused confusion. Like, was there a time in the 70s where Phil Negro or Joe Negro would have been signed by Boston, but whoever was in Boston was like, I told you I don't want any Negroes on my team. Like, no, boss, not a Negro. Phil Negro. Oh, you mean the knuckleballer?
Not the other kind of baller, yeah.
But, yeah, this is – it's funny because, like, each of my teams, Marcus, are at different stages of competitiveness. Like, my Braves in 2013, we are currently second in the division. We're 3 games over 500, and, you know, I got a decent little squad. The 73 Braves, like I said, you know, we're struggling a bit. But then the 99 Expos, I've played, like, through 20 games with the 99 Expos, and I've only lost 2 games. Like, this is a squad.
I did confirm that you need a PC to play Baseball Modal, so that's unfortunate.
I'll say, do you have any PCs at the office?
No. I mean, I could buy some program that runs Windows.
Oh, yeah, they do have those. Yeah.
That's a lot of hassle for...
It is a lot of hassle for Baseball Mogul.
Yeah.
As fun as it is. I'll say,
it on the app. Make it in the App Store. Someone should just buy the rights and then turn it into iOS.
You know what, though, Marcus? And I'm not telling you how to, you know, live your life, how to conduct yourself at work, but last time I checked, you were the baseball editor for Yahoo Sports, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So what I would suggest, brother, is maybe you could get you a PC, right? Get you a free copy of Baseball Mogul, and then anytime they catch you around the office playing it, you can say you're doing historical research.
Mm.
That's how you finesse it, brother.
Yeah, that's how you lose your job, brother.
You're like, Marcus, why you get fired, man? I was trying to lead the Dodgers to the pennant.
Yeah. I would just blame John Pollard.
Right. But yeah, Baseball Mogul, I give it a thumbs up. Football Mogul, on the other hand, Marcus, Football Mogul is just kind of frustrating. Like, I gave up on Football Mogul after about a week. I think it was more fun when I
cared fun.
More about... It was more fun, I think, when I cared more about football.
Mm.
Before the anthem stuff.
Yeah.
So, that is one good thing about Football Mogul, though. There's no, like, nobody's protesting. Everybody's enjoying their Papa John's pizza. It's a simpler time.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of unsimpler times, if that's even a word. One guy who would like to go back in time would be Sean Newcomb of your Atlanta Braves, who was one out away, I believe one strike away, from a no-hitter on Sunday against the LA Dodgers, and did not get that no-hitter. Chris Taylor broke that up with two outs in the ninth. And came out of the game on Sunday and was made aware of, you got it, old, homophobic, and racially charged tweets.
Damn.
From his account. And I will read the tweet. I will read the sort of the lead up to this first from Kelsey Wingert's Twitter account. Sean Newcomb said he saw the tweets resurface when he was on his phone after today's game and wanted to get ahead of it and apologize. So he asked the Braves if he could meet with the media now to issue a statement. Quote, this is something that obviously can't be happening. I feel bad about it. I don't mean to offend anybody. I definitely regret it. And then said, quote, I feel that it would be good to address it right away and just let people know that I meant nothing by it. I didn't mean to offend anybody, and I'll make sure it doesn't happen again. I'll be smarter. And then said, when asked if he was worried about how stuff like this would put in the clubhouse, quote, I think that people who know me know that's not the kind of person I am. So the tweets. This is one example. This gay black kid won't stop presenting about black hair. Hashtag I want to leave.
Oh no.
Another one. This is from 2011. So Sean would have been, I think, 17 or 18. Let's see. I think he's 25 now. Yes, he turned 25 in June. So, skinny nigga, big balls.
Wow.
I'm not lazy. Hashtag fag. Boy, this is
Oh no, Sean, and he's from Brockton.
From Brockton, Mass. Yes, he's from Brockton.
I don't like any Negroes either, Sean.
Damn. You faggots better shut the fuck up before I put that N64 up your ass.
What the hell was that a response to?
I don't know.
A heated GoldenEye argument gone wrong?
It's about to be a brown eye situation. There are multiple tweets with him the F word that I don't need to repeat. So yeah, the latest in baseball player says horrific things as a 17/18-year-old.
Is he older or younger than Hader?
That is a good question. He's older than Hader, I believe.
He's older than Hader. And when he made the tweets, he was older than Hader, correct? I mean, at the time of the tweets, he was older than Josh Hader.
So Hader's 24. I believe he might have been roughly the same age as Hader. So sometime senior year of high school is my guess.
Damn. All right, let's break this down, Marcus, because obviously those things are not only harmful and hurtful and hateful, but they're just plain stupid to put on a public forum. Mm-hmm. And it's the dichotomy of youth, I guess, where kids today, and I would say I would encompass, you know, kids, the millennials, like all the kids in the past 10, 15 years, they are probably smarter or at least have more access to knowledge than stuff that was around when you and I were kids, Marcus. But there's something to, and maybe I'm wrong here, but I'm just my theory. I think that these kids are more intelligent in some cases. In some cases, they're more adult, as we've seen with the with the kids down at Parkland. Mm-hmm. With the shooting, like they can converse on a level that maybe we couldn't quite when we were 14 or 15, but that elevated level of knowledge also invites more stupidity. Like, to me, these kids are bolder and brasher and dumber than we ever were.
Yeah, I was trying to remember back when I was 17, 18, and I think there
like
was.
We did stupid stuff. We said stupid stuff, but it wasn't on Front Street like these kids are always on.
It was not on Front Street. Was not on Twitter. But I think for us, it's weird because, you know, I hate to say this, but in the early 2000s, using that slur, that homophobic slur, was acceptable. It was part of, I think, everyone's everyday language. It wasn't until much later in life that there was awareness brought up around that word, and it became a word that sort of was scaled back. But I think, you know, in high school, that's definitely a word you heard all the time. And
yeah,
it was not, it was said, and I guess it's offensive, but it wasn't, I think, said in that way. It was just a regular word.
I don't think it was said in that way. But also, to me, maybe this is a larger point, it wasn't said, like, loudly in front of adults or grown folk. Like, whatever we said as kids, for the most part, like, you know, whether you're talking about gay slurs or, you know, using the N-word or, you know, the offensive terms for women, we could say that amongst our peer group, but mm-hmm. I'd be damned if you know I said that in front of the teacher or you know the reverend or you know the lady at the grocery store. Like to me, there was a level,
nothing like that.
There was a level of we might be doing the same stuff and saying the same stuff, but we're not like these kids today. They don't give a damn who they say it in front of.
Yeah, I think our generation was definitely self-aware and
tried to contain it. Like when kids at work, whether you know I'm at the restaurant or whether you know I'm doing one of the football games with the kids for the school channel, and some of the stuff that they say, I'm like, excuse me, like like I know I'm not some crotchety old man over here, but at the same time, like I had a little white girl say the N-word in my presence at work, and I'm like,
oh no, baby, what are you doing?
Right. I'm like, I would. I just had to give her a look and like, excuse me. She's like, oh, I didn't mean it that way. I'm like,
do you work with Bad Barbie?
Well, let's just say that. No, this ain't Bad Barbie. She's more like Ratchet Ruth.
Oh, okay.
Let's just call her that. But yeah, it's like, and it's like, I think kids, black and white, they feel more entitled, like, I guess would be a word, Marcus, to converse on an adult level without actually having kind of the couthness, you know what I mean? Having the discretion to know what company to speak like that in front of.
Mm-hmm.
And Twitter, to me, like social media, just kind of feeds into that because, yes, you might be addressing your friend playing N64, but everybody can see that.
Yeah. As for tweets, I don't. When did I join? I joined Twitter, I think, senior year of college.
Okay.
At that point, I was pretty much old enough to know. don't say anything out of line.
Yeah. Hey, well, that's the thing, Marcus. You and I and people of our age group, we were kind of pioneers in a way on the internet and social media and sites like that. But like I took my lumps on Black Planet. I'm not ashamed to admit, you know, every pitch is not going to be a strike.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes might be a wild pitch on Black Planet. But even then, if I got out of pocket, if I got out of my lane on Black Planet, it was just between me and whoever I was addressing on Black Planet. It wasn't for everybody to see.
Yeah.
So I just want to get out. I just really want to just get out in front of everything in case I ever you know blow up at a national level, Marcus. You know the pictures or the messages I might have sent on Black Planet in my youth, they were indiscretions. They were misguided attempts at romance, and I did not mean to offend. To anybody I may have offended, I deeply apologize. And if you don't accept my apology, it wasn't me. It was Russians. They hacked me.
Mm.
I think that covers it. That covers all my bases.
I think so. So let's see how baseball.
What do you think baseball will do to him? Because Hader really didn't receive any backlash.
Hader did not receive any backlash. And Atlanta's tricky. I mean, I don't expect a standing O the Nets Sean Newcomb start.
Yeah, Atlanta is tricky. Like, Atlanta's a black-ass city, but baseball, no offense, Marcus, is kind of a white man's sport these days.
It's a white man's sport, but I feel like because it's Atlanta, I think you have to have a certain comfort level with black people.
Yes. This ain't Milwaukee.
Like, if you really, really, really deep in your heart don't like black people, Atlanta's not the place for you to live. So I think there's going to be some backlash, but I think just not the same warm welcome for this guy as it was for Josh Hader.
Nor should there be, just for the sake of stupidity. Like, okay, you said this when you were a kid, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
After seeing what went down with Hader, why wouldn't you be like, oh yeah, I might have said some stuff that might have been a little sketchy. Let me get rid of that real quick.
That too. I mean, unless these guys truly just forgot some of the stuff they said in high school. But I find that hard to believe that all of a sudden they can't remember some of the tweets they sent.
Yeah, like, and that's the thing, man. Twitter can get you got these days, whether you're talking about Hader or Newcomb, James Gunn, who got. Like, Twitter is getting people up out of here. So if you have some, let's say, problematic tweets in your past, you might want to spend the weekend clearing that up. That's a PSA from us.
There is a site I'm looking now.
You can look up old tweets. Or you can
tweet, delete,
scrub your Twitter.
It's not a bad idea. Like, I would, if I can figure this out, there's no need for any of my tweets, you know, prior to like 20.
Last week.
I mean, really, yeah, there's not. That'd
Twitter
be a great option,
like,
on Twitter. It just deletes. Yeah. You give it a week and then it's just on. I'm not going to go back and read my old tweets from 2011. Like,
like, for real, like, as much as I appreciated, you know, people showing Keep It 2000 love, like, 5 years from now, I don't give a damn what people were writing about the show.
Yeah.
Are y'all going to finish watching WCW? No, man, just give it up. Let go.
So let's
2025.
Figure this out on air. So this will... Wow, so you can automatically delete tweets that are more than blank. So 3 months old, 6 months, 1 year.
Hey. Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, 1 year is too soon. That's good to know.
What's the longest length, the furthest length of time it'll allow you to go back?
Just only a year. Mm. So stuff that's older than a year, so that's a lot.
But
that pretty much wipes out 2017 on.
I was gonna say that'll if you made some racist statements or homophobic statements or misogynistic statements before last year, this might be the thing for you.
Yeah. So
sorry to say everybody's tweet counts declined by the thousands.
I don't expect anything to happen to Mr. Sean Newcomb. No suspension.
No.
I would like to see a team one of these days suspend a player and just say, like, you are representing the Atlanta Braves, and regardless of when you sent this, does not represent... I mean, especially, come on. You're talking about Hank fucking Aaron. Like, at some point, you're going to do this on the wrong team that has the right standards and right values and is not going to tolerate this. And maybe it will be the Braves. Maybe just knowing Atlanta's history and with Hank, and like, this is something that can't be tolerated no matter when it happened. And
maybe that should be the punishment for anybody going forward that has racist tweets in their past. It should be twofold. One, we fine them. But two, you know, we don't suspend him or anything like that. We make him go into a room with Hank Aaron, Dusty Baker, and Frank Robinson, and they have to read their tweets and sit there and let those legends respond to their tweets.
Oof. No, thank you.
Dusty just sitting in the corner with a toothpick. Like, you said what?
Dusty, on Bomani's podcast, he was talking about he was getting like death threats and letters when he was in Chicago as a manager, to the point where one day he got to the clubhouse, got to his office, and there is these two guys in suits, and it was the FBI. And
oh, wow.
The FBI came out because he was getting letters that had white powder, and so they followed up on it. So, and this was happening in the 2000s.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, it's...
And the Cubs were good.
This is not something you hear about with black NBA coaches. Not even black NFL coaches. You don't hear Mike Tomlin getting... and he might, but you don't hear about those stories about him getting death threats and racist letters in the mail. But for baseball, this is, for whatever reason, this has been sort of the part of the game since going back to Hank Aaron and the home run chase, and I'm sure it still happens now.
You know, Marcus, you mentioned the home run chase. So before we switch gears here, as the Royal Rant rolls on, I do want to give a shout-out to two of the greatest white men in the history of white men, Marcus Vandenberg.
They baseball players?
No, they're just... I don't even know their names. Whoever the two random white dudes were that came on the field when Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record, and they came out. Yes, they broke the rules, but they came out peacefully to show love and respect to this man. They didn't try to harm him. Thank you, white men, for being great allies, whoever you are. If you're still alive, if you're still with us.
Let's see if we can find out who these guys were.
Like, how did that even happen? Like, not that you would want them to be harmed, but how did that happen without security like taking them out before they even got to
them? That's a good question.
Like, if you try to do that today, you might end up you might end up under the stadium.
Britt Gaston and Cliff Courtney. It's a weird spelling on Courtney. They were only 17 when it happened.
See, they were only kids, Marcus, and they didn't call him a nigger.
They were arrested, though.
They should have been, because they did break the law.
Yes. They were bailed out of jail at about 3:30 a.m. by one of the parents' fathers, and the charges were dropped when they appeared in court the next morning. And Hank Aaron said he's glad they didn't get in too much trouble.
And they got a hell of a story. Like, that's so, Grandpa, what did you do when you were a kid? Well, let me tell you.
So these days, the Courtney guy, he's an optometrist in Valdosta, Georgia. And Gaston is a real estate, he's in the real estate business in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
So there we go.
Good for them. Yeah, those they're on my all-time greatest white people list. I don't know where they rank, Marcus, but they're in the top 100.
Okay.
Somebody that probably won't be in my top 100, though, Marcus. Your man's Jones? Jerry Jones. Yeah.
Oh boy.
When is the story going to end, Marcus?
How about them Cowboys? the story ends, I mean, what, in 2020 when Trump is out?
That's the thing. Like, people keep saying, why do the players keep making this a thing? The players aren't really making this an issue. It's the owners, and it's the president, and it's, you know, people like Papa John that are keeping this on the front burner, because I think if they just let these players protest, and if they hadn't blackballed Kaepernick, sure it would be something that ruffled some feathers, but you wouldn't. It wouldn't have nearly the scrutiny that it does now, or the controversy.
Mm-hmm. Is this going to impact you watching football this season? Do you think?
No, I mean, I was saying with Football Mogul, like my interest in the game, it's still there. Like I'm still a football fan, not to the extent of as I was at my peak of football fandom, but no, like the anthem stuff doesn't deter me from watching the game. If I was going to watch the Falcons play on Sunday, I'm going to watch the Falcons play regardless of what Arthur Blank says the players can and cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would have to get to a real bad level for me to stop watching the NFL, like, even worse than it already is. Like, Jerry Jones would have to go on TV and call Dak Prescott a nigger. Like, that that'd be the line.
what if, let's say Julio Jones gets suspended for a game because he decides to protest. And that suspension is coming from Arthur Blank. Would that, at that point, start to impact your Falcons fandom, at least?
That's a tough one, because I would still support my players, but Arthur Blank, if he did a move like that, I think, A, it would be, like you said about Atlanta, I think he'd be reading the room all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of Falcons fans, black and white, would take offense to that. But the other thing, if Arthur Blank were to do something like that, I think he would just be, or any owner that suspended a star player, would be lighting the fuse. Because now you don't just have to worry about what the fans think. Now you have to worry about what your locker room thinks.
Yeah.
And that's why when Trump said these sons of bitches, when he made that remark, I was like, this isn't going to go well. Because you had a lot of players that didn't really even care about what Kaepernick was taking a stand for or not taking a stand for. Mm-hmm. You had a lot of players that didn't even really care about those issues, but they cared about being disrespected as a man, which is what Trump did. And so if you got these owners basically trying to assert their will over the players in a way that feels disrespectful, you're going to have a pushback and a fight that you might not want if you're the owners, if you're Roger Goodell, if you're the advertisers.
Do you think we'll get to the point this season where both teams can unify and agree ahead of time that they're going to either not come out for the anthem, or they all just take a knee during the anthem, right, as a sign of unity, as like a player's thing, as opposed to like whatever personal feelings you have about the anthem or the protest? Like, can they put that aside for the greater good of they are trying to dictate how the players play the game?
So you're saying this would be a statement against the owners?
Yeah. So this would not be the situation we saw with Jerry Jones coming out.
Right.
Cheesing. And this would be the players working together and agreeing that either none of us are coming out, or we are coming out and we're all taking a knee. And what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, I guess, your boy D. Smith would have to get on that, because I think they'd have to come at it from the pride angle, like not even for the actual issues, because I do think there are probably some players that don't give a damn about the issues of inequality. Not everyone is as woke as your boy Chris Long, or even Sage Rosenfels, who I didn't know Sage Rosenfels was that woke until I saw him on Twitter recently.
Yeah, he's been active on Twitter.
Sage Rosenfels is about that life. But I think if you make it, this is not just about the anthem, this is about anything. Like, what if, you had something that you wanted to protest? Like, if we go, say we went to war with Russia, and one of the players didn't want us to be in a war with Russia, so he wanted to kneel during the national anthem. That's not connected to Kaepernick in any way, shape, or form, but he would still be subject to the anthem rules that the owners want to apply. So I think you have to make it bigger than just this thing if you want to get everybody on board and make it an us versus them thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very tricky, though. Like, the easiest thing for them to do in terms of the NFL would have just been, you know what, do what you want to do, as long as, this is something that is contained before the game. if you don't want to come out, fine. If you want to come out and stand, fine. If you want to come out and kneel, that's cool too. But once the game starts, none of this. You know, we don't engage in any of this. It's about football once the whistle blows. And if they would have just said that, and none of these owners would have got involved, I think, again, some people might still have a problem with it, the Papa John's crowd. But for the most part, people wouldn't care because it's football. And once the game starts, nobody gives a damn about politics. Until the game is over.
I do think the ratings will decline again this season, though.
Yeah. And I think it'll decline, like, and, you know, everybody makes a big deal about the people that support Trump not watching. But I also think, you know, you're getting a backlash, particularly if you see owners being so ham-fisted with the way they talk to their players. You're going to see a lot of people of color who are like, yeah, we don't need to watch this. Especially, like you're saying, if somebody like Arthur Blank suspended Julio Jones for his right to protest, like, that would make me think twice about watching the next Falcons game. Like, I'm not going to say that I wouldn't, but I certainly, like, it would put that in my mind, which is something you as the team never want to put in the mind of your fans. Like, and maybe I could skip watching them this week.
I would hope they're not that dumb, but I do think that there will be a better agreement between the two sides before the start of the season. So I think whatever policy is in place now will not be the one that is enforced for week one. So I think both sides realize.
Well,
I think the
owners have to take themselves out of it and their ego out of it and their personal thoughts out of it. Because, like, with Jerry Jones, it was like, some players were like, you know, we can just wait in the locker room. No, you can't wait in the locker room. Anybody that waits in the locker room isn't going to be a Dallas Cowboy. Like, okay.
Yeah, and that's where the owners are overstepping their boundaries, and they need to – that's where Goodell needs to talk to them and say, listen, you can't do that. You're
doing too much.
You're doing too much.
Like, I understand your feelings, your personal feelings, but this is supposed to be a business. You're supposed to be a businessman, you know, and they're, yes, you know, you can say, okay, I don't want any of my guys kneeling. And if I say, okay, I'm not going to kneel, I just won't come out. Like, you can't go that next step and say, oh, well, no, you got to be out there anyway. Like, no, but come on.
You know, all it's going to take is for Trump to keep on riding on Goodell. And I think they'll get to the point where the owners will be like, enough, like, you're not going to go after the commissioner. Because, I mean, it's a matter of time before. I saw he had some tweet recently from the past week or so, you know, calling him, you know, something about the $40 million commissioner needs to, you know, do his job or something.
Yeah.
He's going to send off one of those tweets that is going to rub someone higher up the wrong way.
Yep.
And it's not going to end well for Trump.
It's either going to take that or it's going to take Tom Brady kneeling. If Tom Brady kneels, all bets off.
Oof. I could see it.
If Tom Brady kneels, that I won't even know what to think, Marcus Vandenberg. I might, like, that might change my whole opinion of the world if Tom Brady knelt.
And you know who's not going to respond? Trump.
Right. That's his boy.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen how he operates. He doesn't go after his own people.
Nope. It's like he waited till he got back to America to start yapping at Putin.
Yeah.
So who would have thought, though, that, like, we would have a president that was like Smokey from Friday? Because essentially, Donald Trump is Smokey, and Putin is Debo.
Mm-hmm.
Because Donald Trump, like, Donald Trump, why you ain't say nothing to him? Like, I got mind control over Putin, man. Putin tell me to be quiet, I shut up. But when he leave, I start talking again, man. Like, okay. Like, this is again, Marcus, this is America. This is where we're at with our politics and our sports and the mingling of both.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting football season. The XFL can't get here fast enough. Come on, 2020. anything else before we get out of here this week, Marcus? Again, Royal Rant, we're not going to be here for a long time, but hope it was a good time. Do you have any pressing concerns you need to get off your chest before we call it a show?
No, I had a couple shout-outs.
Oh, you got some shout-outs. Okay.
Yeah. First off, my wife's cousin committed to USC last week. He is a quarterback in the class of 2020. His name is Bryce Young.
Oh, yeah, we talked about him before on the show.
Yes. So he made his decision on his birthday on Wednesday.
Okay, and, well, happy birthday.
He will be a Trojan in 2 years, and we are actually going out to Vegas in a couple weeks to see him play Bishop Gorman. Mm. And it's an ESPN game, too, on top of that. So you can,
cool. Good exposure.
You can watch, get exposure. It's a Friday night ESPN game.
Modern Day High School. The kickoff for the season?
Yes, it's that game.
Okay.
So should be fun time. He's transferred to Modern Day. I believe he's a starter, correct. The prior quarterback, JT Daniels, left high school early. He had enough credit to leave and enrolled at USC. So there's a bit of a Modern Day to USC pipeline that's going on here. And
okay, that's actually pretty smart. So you got your boy JT, and then in a couple of years, your cousin Bryce?
Bryce Young, yep.
Bryce will be headed to USC. That's very cool. So you can check him out on that the ESPN, the high school kickoff game.
Yeah, it's like August 24th, I believe.
I was gonna say, yeah, I think it's the end of August, because that's when most high school programs kick up, end of August, beginning of September.
Yes, and then the other shout out is to my old roommate Michael Arsenault, who wrote a book that came out this past week, titled "I Can't Date Jesus: Love, Sex, Family, Race, and Other Reasons I Put My Faith in Beyonce." He is.
It's a good title.
He's one of the most hilarious people that I know. He's a talented writer. He's done like a lot of freelance writing, and this is his first book. So,
okay,
wanted to mention that. You can buy that on Amazon and all the book outlets that are still around these days.
What's the title again? I Can't Date Jesus.
I Can't Date Jesus. Yes.
Okay, I have to check that out. Very so, cool. Very cool. So shout out to Michael and Bryce. I would give a shout out to your lovely wife, Marcus, but I know she ain't listening.
Not listening. though my mother-in-law is here, and she was asking my wife about the podcast and if I had followers or people that listen to the show. And I said, of course. Like, come on.
Yeah, we are the top.
You wouldn't do the show otherwise.
Right, yeah, I could just call you on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are the top-rated African-American sports program in North America, particularly Canada, produced by people that aren't associated with the major network. I mean, it's in the title. It's in the opening.
Yeah.
So, shout-out to your mother-in-law, and shout-out to the listeners for checking out the Royal Rant this week, Marcus. If people want to get a hold of you, if they want to holler at you on Twitter and share with you their stories of baseball moguls, since you can't enjoy it on your Mac, where can they find you at?
You can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
You can find me on Twitter at N8, MozaiK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. You can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/ the Kings of Sport. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, wherever you get your podcast from. You can subscribe there, and that way you'll have a fresh edition of the Kings of Sport delivered to you as soon as it drops online. So rate the show, review the show. Most importantly, if you dig what we're doing, share the show with your friends. Real quick, Marcus, I just remembered, we would be remiss as two people that are big fans of professional wrestling, and we talk about it frequently on this program, if we didn't mention quickly the people that are no longer with us, folks that have entertained us for years who are no longer with us, Nikolai Volkov, Brian Christopher, and also Brickhouse Brown.
All three happening on Sunday, or at least the news coming out of their passings on Sunday. It's been quite the sad day for the wrestling community.
Yeah. And then I do have to give props to Brickhouse, though, because Brickhouse is somebody who, if you weren't a fan of territory wrestling or of black wrestlers, that name might not be too familiar to you. But, you know, I watched a lot of Brickhouse Brown, you know, growing up here in Virginia. We got a lot of the territory wrestling on TV. Very entertaining character. Marks, I don't know how much Brickhouse you got to watch growing up.
Not a lot, but I do know that the common denominator between Brickhouse and Brian Christopher was Jerry Lawler.
Yep.
And so I can only imagine what he's going through today, knowing, I don't know how close he was with Brickhouse outside of the ring, but just knowing someone you competed against and then your own son.
Yeah.
And that story where he reportedly committed, he attempted suicide in jail, and he eventually died later on Sunday. He was arrested earlier in the month for DUI and trying to evade the police. And just a tragic story for someone who was only 46. I mean, and you think, you know, 46 compared to, you know, in the wrestling landscape. Triple H just turned 49, so we're not talking about a guy who is that old.
Yeah.
So, just a sad story.
Yeah, so, and again, Brickhouse to me was a great character, and, you know, he's, even to his dying day, Marcus, he's still a worker, because there were reports a week or so ago that
he was gone. Yeah, 9 days
ago
that he was gone, yeah.
And no, Brickhouse kicked out one last time, and finally succumbed to cancer, was it?
Yeah, I guess the coroner was headed to the house,
which is crazy.
And his mother was next to him, and he reportedly said, "Mom, I'm hungry." And so he kicked out at 2 and lasted on this earth for another 9 days, and then died from prostate cancer.
So. Which is like, it's, I mean, obviously it's sad that he passed, but to have, you know, one last week with your loved ones, that's got to be pretty cool, where it's like, you know what, there's still a little bit of time left, and as long as you got a little bit of time, you know, you can tell people how much you appreciate him, and you know, bury the hatchet with old feuds, and you know, say everything you need to say before you leave.
Yeah.
So, rest in peace to Brickhouse Brown, Nikolai Volkov, and of course, Brian Christopher, aka Grandmaster Sexy.
Yeah, Too Cool. I saw 2012, Too Cool. This was a some type of random local indie show. Indie is a kind word to describe this show. And the special, I think this is, Gangrel has a wrestling school, right? This is like Gangrel was affiliated with it. And also, is it Black Diamond? Is that the Samoan guy? Let's see. There was a, let's see. Anyway, as I look for this information. Yeah, it was Black Diamond, I believe. He is, I want to say, related to someone in the Samoan ether. So the advertised guest at this show was Too Cool, and We get to the show, waiting to go inside.
Were they advertising all three members of Too Cool?
I believe they were. I believe they were hyping this as like the Too Cool reunion.
Oh, the reunion?
Yes. So we get to the place where they're doing the show, and we look over, and this car pulls up to the side of the street. It's like a 2-door, like a Honda Accord.
Uh-huh.
And out comes Rikishi, Stati Tuhati, and Grandmaster Sepsi in this 2-door Accord. Mind you, Rikishi's in the car. And I was just like, oh, this is so sad. Like, this is the wrestling life that you don't see
about. Was
that
before or after Rikishi was inducted into the Hall of Fame?
This was before. This was before even, you know, they had that spot during the old school Raw where they had the six man.
Him and the Usos?
Yeah, so this was Rikishi and Too Cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now I was thinking about the Hall of Fame with him and the
Yeah,
Suns.
So this was way back before they even.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Also on the show was Dandro, who was involved in this wrestling school, which that was cool/interesting to see Dandro at however old he was at the time. But
he's still doing it, Marcus. He's still doing it. He's still out there.
Man. Just to date the story, they were going to do the Too Cool dance that we all know and love.
Right.
And like 5 seconds in, Rikishi stops the music, and instead they dance to Gangnam Style.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess that's when you heard a big sigh from the audience.
Swerve, bro. They won't see it coming, bro. Yeah, so.
Too Cool. Like, you can say what you want about the in-ring stuff, but, like, they were over, man. Too Cool was hot.
Oh, they were hot. Yeah. They won the tag titles once. They beat Edge and Christian.
Like, they were over way more than they should have been. Like, those guys took what should have been, like, a nothing team, and, you know, they got it over.
They were, like, if the B team were actually over.
Yes, yes.
That would be Too Cool.
Yeah. So there's a level to aspire to.
Yeah.
So yeah, rest in peace, Brian Christopher, Brickhouse Brown, Nikolai Volkov. Great wrestlers from the past. But Marcus, we're not talking about the past or even the present. We're talking about the future right now, because we'll be back next week with the new installment of the show, probably going back to a full installment. And I'm sure we'll have plenty of interesting things to talk about. You know, who knows? Maybe Melo will have signed by then. Maybe LeBron will add another head case to his squad. Who knows what the week ahead has in store for us, Marcus?
Hopefully it's a little busier than this past week.
I hear Baron Davis is still available.
Oh, no.
To anyone. And everyone. we will be back with you guys and girls next week. Thanks for downloading the show. And, I've got to go and check on some old tweets, Mark, because I got to go back to my Twitter history.
All right. Good luck.
Make sure I don't have any incriminating evidence. So I'll get to that. I'll let you go about, figuring out how you can get a PC at your office and finesse that baseball mogul. And we'll come back and do it again next week.
One day.
Just hold out hope. The good thing about Baseball Mogul is, Marcus, like, it doesn't matter if you get it now or 10 years from now, because you can just go back and play the season from now, 10
That's
years
true.
From now.
Yeah.
You know, Baseball Mogul is eternal. So we are going to leave it here for this week. We'll be back next week with an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus, light-skinned equalizer Vanderberg, I am the godfather Nate Milton. Don't forget to delete your tweets, everybody. I was trying to think of something clever here, but I got to get to work early in the morning, so let's just wrap this thing up. Because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Royal Rant. Agree with our take? Think we're off base? Or maybe you've got something completely different that you need to vent about. Well, tell us why you're mad on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, or on Twitter, Cospod on Twitter. That's KOS underscore POD, Cospod on Twitter.
Time is really wasted.
Leave it all on the mat, because that's what I do when I get it done so I can do it. Yeah!